God's word is for us. And we are disciples of Christ. We are called to describe the word of God. And I'd like to talk today about someone who was descriptive of God's word. And that is the lady Abigail. So I'd like us to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25, starting at verse 1. And the challenge for us today in our society, with everything that's going on, is to be wise in our dealings, to not be foolish. Abigail teaches us in her wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God placed in her life. The story of Abigail teaches us how to deal with difficult people, how to handle difficult situations. And so what can we learn from the Lord's character as expressed through the life of Abigail? So in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1, it says, "Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Maon. A certain man in Maon, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. Nabal, his name meant fool. He was a difficult person. He was a fool. He was a Calebite." One meaning of Caleb, the meaning that we like to ascribe with our Caleb, is wholehearted. All right, he was one of the two spies that said we can take the promised land, and Caleb was distinguished as one who wholeheartedly followed the Lord. But another meaning of Caleb, which we don't ascribe to our Caleb, another meaning of Caleb is simply a dog. All right, being surly and mean like a dog. Yesterday when Nehemiah was delivering the newspapers, he had a dog nipping at his heels. All right, we deliver newspapers in our family. All right, and I can remember one time a dog was just going after our children, and I had my newspaper bag, because I deliver the newspapers with them. I had my newspaper bag, and I, of course, had my newspapers, and that dog started coming to my children, and I got that paper out, all right, and I was going to protect my children from that dog, okay, and, you know, because that dog was going to be coming up on them and try to bite them and so forth. Well, a dog can be mean. I know a lot of you have nice dogs, all right, but this Calebite would growl at people. Have you ever had to work with someone who seemed to growl at people like a dog? Well, Nabal was that kind of person. He would growl at people like a dog. In contrast, his wife Abigail was a very wise person. Abigail had the wisdom of God. Verse 4. While David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours.'" So David instructed his men to greet Nabal with goodwill, to show favor and goodwill. "Now I hear that his sheep," David said, "now I hear that it is sheep shearing time." That's quite an alliterative phrase. "When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants and they will tell you. Therefore be favorable toward my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them." See, David is requesting food. He's hoping for favor from Nabal, since his men had helped to protect Nabal's men and flocks in the past. David refers to himself as Nabal's son, as his son.
He's being respectful toward Nabal. Let's see how Nabal responded to David's respects and goodwill. When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse?" Like, have you ever had a boss kind of look at you or, "Who are you?" You know? "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" Nabal clearly answers David's kindness with meanness. Well, how did David react to Nabal's surliness? Look at verse 12. David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, "Put on your swords." That's how David reacted to Nabal's surliness. "We're going to go to battle. Put on your swords. Let's get ready to go to war." Second half, verse 13. So they put on their swords, and David put on his. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants, one of Nabal's servants, told Nabal's wife, Abigail, "David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but Nabal hurled insults at them. Yet these men," speaking of David's men, "were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day they were a wall around us, all the time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." So one of Nabal's servants told Abigail how her husband had treated David's men. And he said that Nabal is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. Have you ever encountered a person like that? A person that it just seemed like you can't talk to him? I know as a principal, one of the best things I can do with my teachers is when they come and talk to me, is to just listen. To just listen until they get everything out that they want to say. Have you ever had a boss where you kind of got up the courage and to go talk to your boss? And you're like, you know, talking and you can't even just finish a sentence? All right? Have the person listen to you. Well, here, Nabal is so difficult that no one can seem to talk to him. And God is preparing David too in this. But really, David is part of the difficulty right now. God is preparing David with Nabal to deal with another difficult person. Of course, we all know by the name of Saul. And we're not going to go into that story today. But God may be preparing you for a future trial by dealing with a difficult person even right now. Maybe God has a Nabal in your life so he can prepare you for a Saul later on. Because God calls us to be champions for him. And as champions, we are going to encounter difficult times. We are going to encounter opposition. We are going to encounter persecution at times. But the Lord calls us and gives us the way to handle difficult situations. But back to the story here. So Abigail is caught in the middle. She's caught between David and her husband. Have you ever felt caught in the middle of a situation between people who are being difficult? Perhaps not being between with just one person that is being difficult, but between multiple people that are being difficult? Well, Abigail is in a very difficult spot. Nabal's and her whole household is about to be destroyed. David is coming with his sword on and with 400 men with their swords on. How did Abigail handle this terrible circumstance? Well, she took quick and wise action. Verse 18. Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep. It's kind of like, you know, how you dress a turkey at Thanksgiving. 5 dressed sheep, 5 seeds of roasted grain, 100 cakes. Who here likes cake? 100 cakes of raisins and 200 cakes of pressed figs. All right, sounds like the Davis household when they like invite everybody over for some meal. All right, and Kaylee gets all her helpers to get a meal together. And loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But Abigail did not tell her husband, Nabal. Abigail quickly prepared a lot of food for David's men. It's really what David wanted in the first place. Here he was in the desert, and he and his men had protected Nabal's men before, and nothing was lost, all right? They didn't steal from Nabal's men. They were like a wall around Nabal's men. And now David had a need, and he had requested food, and Nabal responded to that request in a very mean way, in a very unkind way. And so then David got upset, and he was going to go to battle. How dare that mean Nabal talk to us that way? All right? And so Abigail, Nabal's wife, is now trying to come into this situation and to interlope into this situation and to stand in the gap and try to alleviate a terrible, destructive situation. What is the saying that we all hear? The way to a man's heart is his stomach. All right? The way to a man's heart is his stomach. Well, Abigail is a very wise woman. A gift makes the way for the giver. Proverbs 18:16 says, a gift opens the way for the giver. Back to 1 Samuel 25:20. As Abigail came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, 400 of them, and she met them. David had just said, before she met him, David had just said, it's been useless. All my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David. He's saying, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave one male of all who belong to him alive. In other words, he is fuming. As Abigail is coming, David is expressing his anger. He is beside himself over Nabal's treatment. So much so that David even curses himself if he doesn't annihilate all of Nabal's party. Well, this is the situation that Abigail is confronting. Verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. Humility. Abigail before David. Another expression of wisdom when dealing with conflict. God gives grace to the humble. Jesus was full of grace. And Jesus said that God gives grace. It said about Jesus as a 12-year-old. All right, that he grew in grace. He grew in favor with God and man. We can have grace and favor, not only with God, but also with others, men and women, boys and girls. God gives grace to the humble. Verse 24, Abigail fell at David's feet and said, my Lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Abigail is taking the blame here for any bad consequences that may result from David's granting her request. In other words, she's not taking the blame necessarily at this point for Nabal, but she is taking the blame for any bad consequences that may result from David granting her request. In other words, she has some kind of understanding of where David is, that David has even called down a curse upon himself.
all right, that if David relents, all right, okay, and any bad consequences come upon him for his relenting and not following through with what he has declared he will do, let those consequences, that she's taking the blame for any of those consequences. And she is being apologetic, not for her sin, but for Nabal's sin. Sometimes as a parent, we may take responsibility for our children's sin. Okay, I can remember coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, I just want to confess my children's sin. Alright, I want to take responsibility for my children's sin because I don't want a negative consequence to come upon them. Perhaps even for a spouse's wrongdoing, we might take responsibility before the Lord because we want to see the Lord to see and have mercy and grant mercy when there's, you know, there's every opportunity for the consequences of sin to come to bear in a loved one's life. Well, here Abigail is taking responsibility for her husband's sin. And she asks to be heard. May my Lord pay no attention, she says, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is Fool, and folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent. Abigail is saying to David, pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. Pay no attention to that fool. He's a fool. Don't pay attention to him, David. All right? He's not worth the time of day. Do not pay attention to him. He's a fool. Are there any fools in your life? This week, I was counseling a young man. And he was saying that the Lord was leading him to not enter into foolish arguments. And I encouraged him to go along with that thinking. All right? I commended him. That's a good thought. And then as I was studying the Word, I thought about that. Don't pay attention. Don't wring your hands over foolish people. There are foolish people. Titus 3:10 says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. The Israelites, for a rebellious member, even for a rebellious teenager, a rebellious youth, after they would just be rebellious and they would not listen to their parents, they would not listen to instruction, they would not listen to admonishment, they would not listen to rebuke, over and over and over again, the Israelites would put that person out of the camp. And I've recognized, even sometimes as a principal, I've recognized that, you know, you think, okay, what's going to happen if this student has to leave the school? What's going to happen to them? I'm not God. And I've had to recognize that that person has to deal with God. And that's what would happen with the Israelites. All right? As long as the person was in the camp, they'd have a go-between. They'd have their parents. As long as the person was in the camp, they'd have a go-between. They'd have the priest. But when that person was put out of the camp, that person had to deal directly with God. And I've seen how when the person's been put out of the camp, the person finally has to deal with God, meaning that they've got to deal with their issues. They've got to deal with the consequences of their actions, and they've got to deal with them before God. I'm no longer in the way. As a parent, you're no longer in the way. Hopefully you never have to put your young person out of the house. But parents, I've had to do that from time to time. That person has to deal with God. They have to face God Almighty for their sin. Verse 26. Now since the Lord has kept you, David, Abigail is saying to David, now since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live,
May your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. And let this gift, all this gift of food, which your servant has brought to my master, be given to the men who follow you. David is full of wrathful anger. We saw how David, you know, putting on his swords and you know, just running down with his horses, with 400 men, ready to go to battle against Nabal. He is full of wrathful anger. Abigail is attempting to turn that wrath around. Remember, we're talking about principles for working with difficult people. When we're working with difficult people, it doesn't mean that we are called to be trampled upon.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we're called not to speak. Abigail is speaking here, but she is speaking with great gentleness and self-control. And may I add courage as she's facing David and 400 men. She is speaking with great courage, great gentleness, and great self-control. And yet she's speaking. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Abigail uses soft communication. She's saying, you've heard the saying, soft words which break a bone. She is communicating in the way the Lord calls us to communicate. Verse 28. She says, please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you, David, as long as you live. Abigail is taking responsibility so her whole household would not be destroyed. She is willing to ask for forgiveness, even though she really wasn't at fault. She is appealing to David to not to do something that would impugn his integrity. Abigail is actually advising David now. She's giving David wisdom. It's something that a wife should do with her husband. Abigail is encouraging David, don't do something that you're going to regret later. Verse 29. Get this. Abigail says, even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. Abigail is saying, your life is secure. Your life is in God's bundle of the living. And that's the confidence that we need to have as Christians, as ones that are bought by the blood of Christ, as disciples of Christ. Whatever worry, whatever fear, whatever difficult circumstance that you're dealing with, whatever trial, the difficult people in your life, what you're going through at work, whatever. In a sense, we need to have the confidence that we are in God's bundle of the living. That person cannot touch you. That person has no say in your life. You are under God's almighty protection. You are responsible to Him. He is watching over your life. Promotion is from the Lord. He's the one that sees your life. He's the one that sees your faithfulness. He's the one that sees your heart. You are not in that person's hands. You are not in your supervisor's hands. God will provide for you. Your boss does not provide for you. God is your provider. He will provide with you until the day you meet Jesus Christ. You are in God's bundle of the living. Look at the second half of 29. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. The lives of your enemies he will hurl away like stones in the pocket of a sling. Now, of course, this illustration would have great meaning for David. All right. Remember David and Goliath?
Okay? David was very familiar with the sling. Even before David and Goliath, David had become an expert sling master. All right? And he knew what it was to put a stone in the pocket of a sling and to hurl that sling. And so Abigail is saying, the lives of your enemies will be hurled away like stones in the pocket of a sling. Verse 30. When the Lord has done for my master every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant. So again, Abigail is giving David very wise advice. She's in this process of appealing to David to relent, to not do something that he will regret later. And now she is saying, you don't want David to have on your conscience a staggering burden, something that you will regret later. She is giving David very wise advice. Men, husbands, listen to your wife's advice. Sometimes we husbands can make very rash decisions. Right, Sylvia? Sometimes we husbands can be like David. Put on your swords. All right? Put on your swords. But listen to your wife before making a foolhardy decision. You don't want to have on your conscience the staggering burden, something that you will regret later, that can be a staggering burden on your conscience. If your conscience is free, if you have a good conscience, if you have a clear conscience, nothing is stopping you. But we've all had times where something is on our conscience and we've got to take care of that thing. All right? And we all understand as Christians, as true disciples of Christ, having a good conscience, how having something on our conscience can really weigh us down. Remember that it is God's job to take vengeance. It is not our job. It is our job to simply entrust ourselves to Him and let God do His job. It is not our job to take revenge. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. That's what Abigail was doing. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. She even had some wine along with her. In doing this, you will heap burning coals in his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So Abigail, in her wisdom, is overcoming evil with good. Back to 1 Samuel 25:32. David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Abigail has won David over. David, to his credit, was willing to listen and was won over. And so one thing we need to do, already alluded to, is that we need to listen to those who have concerns and be willing to change our attitude, our perspective. Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. And David recognizes that God sent Abigail. Perhaps God will send you to talk with perhaps the boss at your place of employment, one-on-one, at an opportune time, to share maybe some concerns that the people are having. Verse 33, David says, may you be blessed, Abigail, for your good judgment, for keeping me from bloodshed this day, and from avenging myself with my own hands. David recognizes Abigail's good judgment. David has a sense that he has been rescued. David has a sense that he has escaped. Have you ever felt that, whew, I just escaped from doing something that I know I would have regretted later? I know I've felt that way. Okay? And so David has this sense that he has escaped, that he has been rescued, that he has been rescued from doing something that he would later come to regret. And he's grateful to Abigail for her wisdom and for her courage and being willing to confront him in the right way. Don't you appreciate it when someone confronts you in the right way? Confronts you in the right way? I do. All right. Verse 34. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request. David changes and grants her request. Again, Abigail walked in the wisdom of Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. David changed his attitude. For all of us, we need to be willing to change our perspective. I know for me as a principal, sometimes two students have a conflict. Boy, I wish I had instant replay. All right, like the football games have. I mean, the referees in football and basketball now, they're allowed to use instant replay. All right? Okay? Sometimes I wish I had, instant replay, but I don't. And I know I've learned that one student seems right, but then when I listen to the other student, okay, sometimes my perspective changes. And I have learned as a principal that I've got to be willing to let my perspective change. Mm-hmm. All right? David was willing to let his perspective change. I mean, he was ready to go to battle. All right? We need to be willing to let our perspective change. Sometimes when you get new information, all right, they say, oh, all right, oh, okay, and we relent. We may feel like going to battle. You know, how dare such and such a person do such a thing? But then we get new information, our perspective changes. Proverbs 18:17 says, the first to present his case seems right. So another comes forward and questions him. Verse 36. When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. So she told him nothing until daybreak. We can see many parallels between Nabal and Saul. Then in the morning, all right, and so Abigail was a very wise woman. She looked for the right timing to speak to a difficult person. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and Nabal became like a stone. Nabal became like a stone. Probably he had something like a stroke. Recall Abigail's prophetic verse and prophetic word in verse 29. But the lies of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling, like a stone. Nabal's heart failed him, and he became like a stone. Verse 38. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Vengeance is the Lord's job. It's not our job. It's not our job to take revenge. All right, we need to entrust that person, entrust the situation into the Lord's hand. Recognize that we are in the Lord's hands. It's not our job to come against that other person. It's his job to deal with others as he pleases. It's our job to please him, to bless others, and to make sure that we are seeking to please the Lord. When David heard that Nabal was dead,
He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who has upheld my cause against Nabal, for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant." David is speaking about himself. "He has kept me, his servant, from doing wrong. God, I praise you for keeping me from doing wrong, and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head." David recognizes that he has escaped from doing something he would regret later. He has escaped from doing something foolish. He recognizes that Nabal's wrongdoing has been brought down on his own head. You see, sin has its own consequences. Sin has its own weight. It really belies itself. It sells itself short. We may see, as Proverbs tells us, people that seem to get away with sin and so forth. Well, it ultimately comes down on its own head. If you see someone behaving badly and you think they're getting away with it, don't worry about it. Don't wring your hands about it. Don't take it as your own cause to try to bring justice to that person. Sin will have its own results. Sin will bring its own self down. Verse 39. Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. Abigail is rewarded for her wisdom and for her godly character. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." Abigail bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "Here is your maidservant, ready to serve you and wash the feet of my master's servants." Abigail's attitude was one of servanthood. It's an attitude that gives us favor with those in authority. It's an attitude that is not just for women. An attitude of servanthood is for all of us who follow after Christ. We're called to be servants. Men, we're called to servant lead our wives. I'd like us all to stand and turn to, I'll turn there. You don't turn there, but I'd like to read from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. We are all called to be these servants. It's the attitude of Christ, and it's an attitude that is contrary to the attitude of this world. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But Christ made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Attitude. Everyone say attitude. Attitude. It's an attitude of servanthood. All of us sometimes need an Abigail in our life. When in our anger, we might do something that we'll regret later on. God provided Abigail for David. Provided him with wisdom to protect his integrity. Provided him with wisdom to protect his future. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would help all of us, Lord God, to be shining lights in Jesus' name. Help us to be shining lights in our places of employment. Help us to be shining lights in our neighborhoods. Help us to be shining lights at the football game when everyone's yelling at the referee. Help us to be shining lights. Lord God, help us to be shining lights in our families, Lord God. Help there to be something different about us when we got difficult people all around us and we feel like we're in the middle of a difficult situation. Help us to be shining lights, Lord God, that bring the character of Christ, that bring the wisdom of Christ. Help us to be part of the solution of the ills of this world, not part of the problem. Help us to show Christ. Christ is the only one that can solve our problems. And yes, Lord, we pray for a revival of Christ in our nation, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a great day in the Lord.